السلام
عليكم.
مع السلامة.
Oi, hello,
Nick. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hi, how are you? Welcome to International Student Stories, where we share authentic stories from international students studying in the U.S. My name is Simon Hamlin. I am your guide on this journey, and together we get to explore international students' dreams and passions and the impressive things they do to help shape our schools, society, and the world. Thank you so much for joining us. In this episode, we're listening to Bueja Fachano. Bueja is a talented musician who is about to launch his 6-song EP. In our interview, we listen to all 6 songs, 3 in this episode and 3 in our next episode. Bueja's songs deal with themes like friendship, family, love, home, Black Lives Matter movement, sexuality, death, spirituality, and dreams. These songs provided the perfect springboard to learn about Bueja's powerful story. Bueja came to Hollywood to pursue his dream of winning a Grammy Award. He is a cancer survivor from Abuja, Nigeria, who graduates from Los Angeles City College in the fall of 2022. Here is part 1 of a 2-part interview with Bueja Fachano. Bueja, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We've talked about this for a long time, but it's finally happening. I'm glad to be here.
I know. And I've been excited about it ever since we first started talking about it, because we are doing a totally different format than we've ever done with this podcast before. You are a musician. You are launching your EP, 6 different songs, and you tell your life story through your songs. So we thought it would be fun to use each of your songs as a launching point to some things we're going to talk about in your life.
Amazing. Get into my private business. Fine.
That's right. We're going to get in your private business. Okay. So we're going to start with your first song,
okay.
Back to LA.
That's right.
And you are joined by Alan Mancia.
And the guitar.
On the guitar. I'm going to let anything you want to say to introduce it, or do you want to just go right in?
Well, my introduction will be, my name is Bueja, and this is my friend Alan on the guitar, and the song we're going to perform for you is called Back to LA. Hope you like.
I miss running after the gold line. I missed it every time. Never made it to school on time. I miss looking up to the blue sky. Palm trees shade high. Cool walks down the wayside. I miss it where I used to live. It's different from where I'm living in. I miss it where I used to live. It's different from where I'm living in. Take me back, I wanna be there now, with all my friends in my old house. I wanna go back now, back to LA, back to LA, back to LA. Sunset was better at the boulevard. Rubber pools in the backyard. Sign his name on a gold star in LA. We go to the beach. Ooh, ooh, rubber pools. I miss it where I used to live. It's different from where I'm living in. I miss it where I used to live. It's different from where I'm living in. Take me back, I wanna be there now. With all my friends in my old house. I wanna go back now, back to LA, back to LA, back to LA. back to LA. Thank you.
Damn. That was beautiful. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Wasn't perfect, but hey, no one's perfect.
It's different every time, every performance. But I'll tell you what, that was gorgeous. Thanks so much for playing our first live music session in the International Student Stories podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you for giving me that honor. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So when we talked several weeks back to arrange this, you also sent me, along with each song, you sent me just a quick couple words on themes on each song. And for Back to LA, which you just played, you talked about that new place, family, and friends, and obviously coming back to LA. I actually want to take it back even before LA. You grew up in Abuja, Nigeria, correct?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Now, if someone were visiting your country and hometown for the first time, what would you want them to see and experience?
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, first of all, when you see Abuja, Nigeria, it's going to be totally different from what you're used to, but which is all part of the experience. So we have lots of natural reserves. It's very green, unlike LA, where, you know, it's kind of like desert. But back home in Abuja, there's lots of greenery. That's trees everywhere. And you're going to see different kind of buildings, like the zinc buildings, the concrete buildings, and lots of things that still need development. But, you know, all in all, it's a good country, good place to visit. The food is what I'm like most excited to you know, share with you guys.
Oh, well, share it. Talk to us. Yes. What are your favorite dishes? What did you grow up with?
Well, we are known for our jollof rice. It's basically rice with lots of spices in it. So it looks orange in color due to, you know, the spices and everything. And we have, well, not really a saying, but if you're eating our food, it has to be spicy, like spicy hot, you know, lots of pepper. So if you can't hang, maybe just have a little bit, because it's going to have you sweating and snots and tears. And if that's happening, that's when you know that the food is delicious. If it doesn't happen, yeah, honestly, if it's not spicy, people are going to look at you like, nah, you did not cook today. You didn't do it. So that's one thing that you should be aware about.
And they're called Jello fries?
Jollof fries, yeah. Jollof. And then rice. You can have it every day if you know have the time to prepare it and everything. But usually it's reserved for like special occasions, like weddings, birthdays, even burials and everything that's ceremonial. That's when you have jollof rice. But you can have it every day if you feel like it. Just on a special day, it tastes different for some reason. It just tastes different.
Everything tastes better on a special occasion, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
What are some other dishes that you think back to you fondly?
Oh my God. Now we're talking about food back home. I want to be back home and eating all those things. We have pounded yam. So it's just yams. And then it's like you pound it and it's like, it becomes like, almost looks like mashed potatoes, but then it's kind of harder than mashed potatoes. Potatoes not as soft. And you have it on one dish. And then on the second plate, you have we call it soup or stew, whichever one. And my personal favorite with pounded yam is ogbono. Ogbono is O-G-B-O-N-O. It's green. It's grinded from something. Can't remember what now, but it just tastes so good together.
And they're all spicy, right? The pounded yams and the ogbono, those are spicy too.
Definitely. The pounded yam is just yam pounded with yam. But then when you add it with the soup, it's amazing. And you got to have meat. Like your plate has to have meat. You can be from the poorest of poor or the richest of rich, but your food has to have meat. If it doesn't, then it's like it's incomplete, you know?
Do you have brothers, sisters?
Yes, I do. I do have two sisters. I'm the only boy. I begged my mom for a long time, please give me a baby brother, but she didn't. So, you know, it's just me in the middle of two lovely ladies now. My younger sister just recently got married in December.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, I couldn't be back home to celebrate with everything going on. But I saw it through Zoom and it was nice. Yeah.
How often are you able to get back home to visit?
Oh man, where are my tissues? Unfortunately, I don't have that luxury to travel back and forth. So it's been a while. The last time I was there was 20, 19, 20, 20 early before the pandemic started. And the reason why I went back was because my dad had passed 2019, and also my visa had also expired. So it was just like bad news all around. And so I had to go back to just honor my father and also renew my visa. And then I came back 2020 before the pandemic. So ever since then, I haven't really been back, and it sucks because I hate flying as well. I'm scared of planes, and it's like 20, 28 hours from here. There's just like, oh, I'd rather not.
I'm really sorry to hear about your father. And I want to return to that because I know some of the themes in some of your other songs, which we'll get to, deal with death and spirituality. So we'll revisit that for sure. And this is one of the challenges, right, of being an international student. You're far away from home and you don't get to go home that often.
Yeah, true. But luckily there's technology like this. My mom always like, DJ, what's happening? You know, she calls me DJ as well. And I'm just like, oh, hi, mom, miss you. But now it's funny because she's out of the country. She's a diplomat. And so my dad was an ambassador before he passed. So she like joined when he passed. And so now she's in Ireland.
And how, if at all, did they influence you to pursue music?
Funny story. I actually started my music journey from dancing because as a kid, I just loved dancing. I mean, Nigerians, we love to dance in general. Our music is Afrobeat. It's just like move your body. So that was my first experience with music. And from there, I was just dancing to the rhythm and to the beat. I didn't pay attention to the lyrics. But then when I grew older, I was like, what are these people saying? So I paid attention. I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful storytelling. And that's what I want to do. I mean, I'm kind of a shy guy. I might not look like it or sound like it, but I am. Oh, my friends beg to differ. So that was my way of like expressing myself, just writing my thoughts. That was my diary in a way.
Do you remember when you first switched that gear from dancing to being a musician and the first song that you wrote? Do you remember how old you were when that came about?
Okay, good question. Well, it should be about like 10, 11, 12-ish. That's when I made like the transition, because before then it was just strictly dancing. In fact, I was like in a dance crew, you know, with my friends. I was just dancing to every music video. But then I think when I was like 12, my friend, and by then I was in Sweden. Yeah, because we traveled around because of my dad's job. So by then I was in Sweden. I was in Nigeria anymore. So Sweden introduced me to a whole bunch of different music besides Afrobeat. You know, that it just kind of made me more Western. So my friend, his name is Letabo. He's from Botswana. He gave me his iPod when iPod was famous back then. And he played Adele for me. And I was like, who is this lady? First of all, I saw her name, A-D-E-L-E. And Nigeria, we say Adele. That's how we pronounce it. So I was like, is she Nigerian? I never saw the face. I never saw anything. So I was like, Adele. And she sounds like this. That is crazy. Nigerian who sounds. Then I had to do my research. I was like, oh no, she's British. She's not Nigerian, but she sounds amazing. And so her storytelling, her pain, that's what introduced me, you know, to start writing my own music.
Which language did you grow up speaking? I was doing some research on Nigeria, and it said that English, Hausa, and Yoruba are the three languages, English being the main language that's spoken there. Did you speak either of the other two languages other than English?
A little bit. The story is, according to my mom, and I believe her because it is what it is, my first language is English. Because my elder sister, when she started school, I was at home. So they taught her English in school. And, you know, she came and she just shared her knowledge. And so, you know, as kids, you follow your big sister. And so that's what I did. And unfortunately, my parents didn't really instill the language in us as kids. I guess it just gave us our freedom in a way. And so I stuck to English. That's what I'm most familiar with. And then between Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba, I can speak a little bit of each. Just as a Nigerian, you're supposed to like know at least something from, you know, your neighbors and everything. So a little bit of each. But where I'm from Taraba State, we speak mainly Hausa, which is one of the three main languages in Nigeria, and our own dialect, which is Jukun.
Jukun, okay.
Yeah, ooh, say nice, J-U-K-U-N. And that's the name of my tribe as well, so.
Okay, well, so, yeah. The reason I asked about the languages, I was curious if any of those are incorporated into any of your music as well, but it sounds like mostly just English, right?
It is mostly English, but there is one song or two, but one is more prominent. There's a line at the end, which I sang in my dialect. It's kind of emotional just talking about it, but it was something my dad used to sing as a kid. I was like, what is he singing? But then I heard the translation from my mom. I was like, oh, it's kind of funny. But since he passed, there was a song dedicated to him, which I guess we're going to get to soon.
Father, Father?
Yes, Father, Father. And yes. I just decided to honor him in that kind of way. After I said a lot of things I wish I could have told him when he was here in person. But yeah, that song is kind of healing for me. So that was one of the tracks where I decided to put myself into my heritage into.
Before we move on, I'm very curious to, you mentioned you slipped in your tribe.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay, well, I'm from the Jukun tribe in Taraba State, and we're like a minority because unfortunately, some people in Nigeria don't even know where my state is from Taraba State. They're like, where is that? I'm like, you're a Nigerian, you should know. So we're kind of a minority, and it's just a peaceful, loving tribe. Unfortunately, like everywhere else in the world, you know, sometimes where there's peace, there's also a little bit of destruction. So we've had our own share of our neighbors trying to claim our land, and we had to defend ourselves. And one thing my dad was, that I'm proud of my dad for doing, was he never forgot where he came from, and he wanted me to make sure I don't forget where I'm coming from. So him and the rest of his colleagues from Taraba State, they just came together and like, how can we better our state and make it more developed and more peaceful? Because there's a lot of destruction of land and property. I've had uncles who have died because of, you know, such things, so just family members in general. So my dad made it one of his priorities before he passed away to help in rebuilding our state. Yeah, besides that, you know, the food is great. The family is very strong. Every time I visit, because I'm not so familiar with the language, they just accommodate me in some kind of way. They can speak English as well, but maybe not as good. But, you know, we find a way to communicate. And they don't laugh too hard when I try to speak the little I can speak. Boy, it's just so funny and just so loving all around.
Well, you're the son of a diplomat, so they can't get away with laughing at you, right?
Right,
that would
right.
be the problem.
That's true.
How big is the tribe? How many people?
Oh, wow. I don't really know the consensus about that, like the numbers.
I mean, is it thousands, tens of thousands, 100,000, or?
I probably would say maybe tens of thousands.
Okay.
Because we're not that big, but I could be wrong.
What an amazing, you know, to be able to go back and talk about having our tribe, having our community. And it's something right. that I'm always in search of and wanting to strengthen. And so for you to have a tribe that you can go home to and that your family's a part of is pretty amazing.
That's true. But now they just, BJ, when are you getting married? You know, we need a wife.
Those are the downsides of a tribe. You have the good sides of the support, but then you have the downside of if you're not married yet or job-wise, they're going to give you a little flack on that. So
that's true.
Take the good with the bad.
Right. And that's because my dad was the first of 10 siblings, and we're quite known where I'm from because it's so small. So, you know, and the impact it's had in the community. So we're known. So they want me to step up to the plate and lead in a way. And by leading, you need a partner. So I'm just like, I'm trying to study.
Yeah. We've talked a little bit about your homeland. And I'm interested in now this transition coming to the U.S. and the song I picked for that, Pen Pal, because you talked about one, it touches on quarantine, but also friendship, love, and dreams. Yep. And I equate that, you know, your dreams somehow took you to the U.S.
It sure did.
Hello, it's me. Tell me how you've been. What's new in quarantine? Did you finally break up with him only to get back for some dick? Yes, I know that's what you did. I know you too well. Oh well, go ahead, be yourself. No judging, hey now. Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now. Anyway, I'm okay, I'm fine. Just trying to pass the time. Would roll one if I owned a lighter, babe. Got a lot on my mind. It's been a party of one. Cause we're stuck inside. Yeah, the days go by. Then it's Monday again. Gotta get back online. Haven't met up with friends. And I meant what I said about Valentine. Fuck it, it's not for me. It was never mine. I'm not bitter. I just think my life would be sweeter if I had Hendrix's guitar, MJ's move, my own symbol. Like Prince, a man can dream, a man can dream, dream. A man can dream, a man can dream, a man can dream, dream. A man can dream. A man can dream. This man has dreams.
Oh, man. I wish everyone could see you. Because there's something so fun about watching someone listening to their music. It's the, like it's almost this mix of pride, a little bit of embarrassment, being exposed, but then also there are these moments where I see you moving your head and singing the lyrics, and so that was fun for me, just
thank you,
in addition to just getting to hear a beautiful song, seeing your reactions in it.
That's actually currently my favorite song of the album. I mean, it always switches, but right now it puts me in such a good mood. I don't know, for some reason, it's just, I love that song and I'm proud of it. And to hear it, I'm emotional because, oh my God, it's here, finally.
I felt emotional from it too, because especially that Dreams line. And when I think about your journey to the US, it is very emotional. And when did that dream first start for you to come to the US and study?
Oh, wow. It's been a long time, because ever since I got into music, I was like, I want to win a Grammy. I want to win a Grammy so bad. And where are the Grammys held? They're held in America, Hollywood. You know, so it's been a long time. Ever since I was a little kid, the dream was to come here and to study the music, because the music here is totally different from back home. Even though we get to hear the music from there, it's just, it's different. And if you want to learn and better your craft in a specific type of music, you have to be in the place, submerge in the culture and just experience the environment and learn more about that genre. So that's why I took a leap of faith and left my country, even though I had a job, because I was a teacher at that point. And I was like, I can't be telling my kids, you know, follow your dreams when I'm not really following my dreams of becoming the artist I want to become. Even though I love teaching them, it's a blessing that I was given the opportunity to impact the younger generation. I just felt like I needed to also be an example, a role model, and also just practice what I preach. So the dream of being here, in fact, every day is a dream. It's like, what? I'm here. I'm, you know, I'm in the States. I'm studying the music I love. I'm making the music I love.
So what was the first spot that you came to in the U.S.?
Pasadena. That was the destination, yeah. Pasadena, because initially the first school I enrolled for was California College of Music. Shout out to CCM. It was a one-year course program in vocal performance. And it was so fast and it was fun and also just frustrating, because you had to absorb a lot of knowledge and just in a week, and then you're being tested. I'm like, I haven't even, you know, digested this thing yet. But it really prepared me for the next journey, which was coming to LACC and doing a AA program in music. It helped me get my scholarship that I'm currently on, and also to do well in my classes right now. So I'm grateful for CCM and also the journey from Pasadena.
What were your biggest surprises when you first came to the U.S.?
Ooh, can I say this? Can I be honest, totally honest?
That's what we're here for.
Okay, well, culture shock, not so much, because I already had experience being outside of Nigeria and just having American friends, British friends, just international friends in general. But I say not so much, but it is there a little bit, because back home, what we see on TV is not what it is in reality. Like, you see homeless people and the buses, trains, a lot of maybe not so okay people in the head, you know, daily walking about. I'm just like, are we in America? That is surprising for myself. And I believe from other people I've spoken to as well, they're like, oh, we didn't think we'll see this here. Back home, probably, yes. But how Nigerians see America is like, it's the promised land, milk of honey. So you expect everything to just be like brand new and just not even a crack. So when you see a crack, you're like, oh, I didn't know there could be a crack here. So that was just the shocking thing about my journey. And also maybe just the personalities and the manners, like younger people calling older people by their names. We're not used to that back home. It's always like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And so I had to get used to it. But even though sometimes I'm like, ooh, I shouldn't be calling you by your name. But then they're like, no, you can call me by my name. And I'm like, okay, not to offend you, I will adapt to your culture. Because when in Rome, but in this case, when in the US, right? So yeah, those are the little things.
So if you were able to change things, what would maybe be some of the traditions from Nigeria that you would want to bring to the US?
Well, there is something that is on my mind heavy that when I came here, I experienced. Unfortunately, during my first month here, I was subjugated to a racial profiling situation. So I was just like, I've been here just 1 month. Come on, at least give me a year or something before you come attack me. But even, I kid. But on a real note, that was something that really touched me. It broke me, like, oh my God, we don't have this back home. Everyone basically loves everyone. And I know saying that sounds weird because majority it's the Black populations, but we do have international people there as well. And how Nigerians see other nations is just with love. This might sound wrong, but we just love foreigners to a certain degree that it kind of becomes like we put them on a pedestal in a way, which I'm like, oh, Nigerians, we gotta, you know, dial back on that. You know, we're all human beings here. Come on, let's calm down. But the fact that I'm coming from that culture where we put people above us and we just share the love, and then coming here and to experience that kind of treatment, I was just totally confused because I didn't do anything. Why you're approaching me in such tone, and why am I the only one being interrogated? Because I had a bag in a Ralph store and it was a string bag. So yeah, it was just security guard approached me and he was like, you're not allowed to have the bag here. And I'm like, I've been here a month, but I was with my aunt at the time. And she like, no, whenever you go shopping, you're allowed to have your bag. So that's what you put your groceries in. So I was like, that's really inappropriate. And he was just following me around the store and it broke me. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
And just for our listeners who might not be familiar with Ralph's, I know Ralph's because I lived in LA for a long time. I actually went to school at UCLA. Ralph's is one of the big grocery stores there. You talked about the love that is really present in Nigeria. Where do you think that comes from?
I would say we're really spiritual beings, be it Christianity or Islamism. I think that's the source of the love, first of all, because God told us to love our neighbors like ourselves. So that's what we practice, or at least try to practice every day, because, you know, no country, nobody's perfect. And we, at one point, I can't remember the year, but we were named the happiest people on earth. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me with our situation? We're not even like that developed yet, but we're like the happiest people. And when I went back and sat down to just digest that fact, I was like, oh, it kind of does make sense, because even through trials, tribulations, we always get up to go to church or the mosque to pray, to sing, to dance, to pray to God and just have a good time to fellowship with one another. We're always giving thanks, you know, even though we don't have anything, give thanks no matter what. So I believe that's where the happiest people on earth came from, because, hey, we're not doing so good right now, but life, we're still living, we're still breathing. Life goes on and we're going to thank God for that and celebrate life. So I think it's really heavy on spirituality. That's where the whole love thing came from.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder how much that factors into having this tribe as well. So having that spirituality, whether it's religion and everything that goes with that, and also having that sense of tribal and
yes,
a community, a group of people,
yes,
that's got to make a huge difference as well.
It does. It surely does. Yeah.
In your time in the U.S. so far, have there been any traditions or customs that have resonated with you and that you would like to bring back to Nigeria?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. I mean, there's so many things, like, where do I even start? I like how in the U.S. there's lots of opportunities. I mean, just anything you do here, if you're really dedicated and put in the hard work, you know, you can really like make it. And I would like that to transcend to where I'm coming from. I would like us to have such opportunities as well, like to education, to water, to electricity, infrastructure, proper healthcare. So definitely love things that I believe my country could benefit and learn from the U.S., you know. So I'm trying to do my part here by learning, you know, the craft here. And people say it's music, but music can do wonders. You know, it can help fundraise and it can build a nation and just heal the world in general. So a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your music, look, I'm in Seattle. It's gray and dreary right now. I've felt in a bit of a funk the last couple of weeks, but just hearing your songs today, like I feel more uplifted and feel better. So
thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of music, let's play another song. This one is called The News.
Have you heard the news? It's not okay, KKK, they all hate me for the color of my skin, so they kill me and my kids. The killings on the rise daily, heavy weight on my neck. Now I can't breathe from the one who swore to protect me.
Elijah McClain was murdered at the hands of police a year ago, and still no justice.
Have you heard the news lately? A worry about our safety from devils dressed in blue clothing. Shoot first, act later, cause it's me. Shit's getting out of hand, it's crazy. I know your silence is also deadly. Makes you part of the hatred part. It's a pandemic. The master of can't call the cops. Prayers from my mom every day, dressed in dark. Cause evil has its bond. People often lost. And people we have. What's on TV, oh my god. You need to see this. Don't need therapy. It's insanity. Cause my tears keep falling. Falling. Falling.
A man by the name was jogging in his neighborhood in Georgia when he was killed in a shooting after being chased by a racist father. Prompted a wave of demonstrations worldwide against police brutality and institutional racism.
Don't forget Breonna Taylor and so many others.
Wow, hear that back. Took me back to the inspiration for the whole song.
Watching you on that was a totally different experience than watching you in Pen Pal. So with the news, your eyes were down. You went much more internal. I could tell you were really, it was like you were wrestling with all those things again.
Yeah.
You said that this is focused on Black Lives Matter movement. does, which comes through in the song. And I'm guessing this is based on partially on what you went through as well as other stories that we're hearing again and again across the country.
Yeah, true, true. And in fact, that story in the U.S., it's just because in the U.S., I've experienced it outside of the U.S. as well, because, you know, I've been to Europe and all that kind of things. But, you know, pandemic hits, you're struggling to, you know, transition from in-person to online. And it was just like, what is happening with the news? You turn on the TV and then you see different racial incidents. And it's just, it's like, how do you concentrate? You can't fail because you're on a scholarship. So there's that pressure as well. And even failing is also like, in my mind, is like, oh, I failed my people back home, my tribe, my family. So it was just a lot of emotions. And then every day was just the same constant news of what's going on in the country, racism and different names. And it just, it's crazy. Like I said before, you know, when you go from where I'm from, you just think of America as this land of milk and honey, no cracks. But then you see this crack and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And then you're like, oh my God, what is happening? Then you kind of think, did I come to the right country in a way? Is it safe here? Just many, many things. So like I said, music is my journal. So I felt inspired to just, you know, write how I felt. And that was the product, the news.
How much time passed before you wrote that song from the incident to actually pen to paper?
Actually, it didn't take long, to be honest. It just, once I started writing, because I was so passionate at that time and I didn't want to lose focus or momentum. So it took, I would say, maybe like a month to really get the structure, the melody and the chords together, but then to like refine it over the course of the year. Because, you know, I'm here on a scholarship. Like I said, school is priority, so I can't fail. So I'm always like constantly trying to be on top of my education. And it's also money to make music as well. So I had to save up. Because each track, honestly, is $500. And I was like, that's six songs, that's $3,000. And I had to fundraise for that. So I had the idea, I had the song. It was just sitting down there with the chords, a demo. And from there, I just shipped it to my friend, who's a producer, Andre Cavallo. Shout out to him. And he helped me put the song together as well. Oh, and before him, actually, there was another guy, Kevin Serrano. He was the first guy that helped me with the song. He was a good friend of mine and he helped me with the demo. But then Andre later on helped with the masterpiece of what you hear now. And yeah, it took quite a while because that was 2020 and we're in 2022 right now. So it was just because I had a lot of school to concentrate on and I had to fundraise for the money. I even had to open a GoFundMe page, to be honest, to produce my music. We raised a substantial amount. I'm grateful for what was giving, because it was like for my benefit. They didn't even like, you know, like, oh, if I donate, I have to get a shirt from you or like I have to get free listens. No, it was just from the bottom of my heart. I believe in you, your talent. Here's some money. And whatever was giving to me, nothing was small. I appreciate everything. And if you're listening right now, thank you guys. You know yourselves. Love you. God bless you.
Yeah. Well, nobody tells you how hard the GoFundMe process is. I actually did one of those to fund a short film that I produced and wrote years ago. And even for a small amount, it's a tremendous amount of work.
Yes.
You're more than earning that money with all the work that goes into putting that together and then pushing it out to the public and getting those donations. So I definitely commend you on that. I know how much work goes into it.
Thank you so much. And also I had to get out of that stage because I'm not used to asking for help. It's something I kind of learned from I won't say learned, but I kind of like saw from my dad when he did, which wasn't a good trait. But then sometimes you try not to be like your parent, but you kind of end up like them sometimes. So it took a while for me to even like reach out and be like, oh, I need help, and started GoFundMe. It was actually my vocal coach, Professor Laurie Stinson, who was like, BJ, you have crazy talent. Your voice is amazing. You have lots of stories to tell. Start a GoFundMe page. And I was adamant, but then looking at her and her expression, she's going to maybe not like me for saying this, but we were having a session and she broke down in tears because I was just doubting myself, my talent, my ability. And then she just broke down in tears. She's like, DJ, why can't you see yourself the way I see you, the talents I see in you? And seeing her in tears over my inability to recognize the gift that God gave me, I just like, I'm sorry. I will listen to you. I will do as you say, and I will ask for help. And I'm glad she pushed me to. And yeah, love her. She's an amazing vocal coach. Thank you, Prof. Yeah. Laura Stinson, if you hear this.
Yeah, well, shout out to her. And yeah, it's some of that background noise that we're hearing. You're in a room at school, so
yes,
we're hearing a little bit of background talking. And to what your vocal coach said, it's a real gift what you're sharing with everyone, your music. So any help that goes into making that happen is a must. And I hope it sounds like you've definitely taken that to heart, and I hope you continue to, because sharing this music with everyone is really important and inspirational. And thank you for sharing it with us today.
Thank you so much.
And what we're going to do, we've gone through your first three songs from your EP. That's going to wrap up this episode. And then in our next episode, we are going to listen to and talk about your life for the other three songs.
Amazing. Wow, time flew by.
I know. Quick. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, like I said. And I'm looking forward for part two.
Me too. Thank you again for listening to International Student Stories. And thank you to our team for putting together this episode. Stories are meant to be shared, so please pass the story on to a friend or family member who needs to hear a good story. A few other quick notes. I invite you to check out the show notes if you want more details on some of the topics discussed in this episode. For all the latest podcast news, stop by our website, studyintheusaglobal.com/podcast. That's studyintheusaglobal.com/podcast. Subscribe to the International Student Stories podcast to be alerted on new episodes. And contact us if you know of a current or former international student whose story needs to be shared with the world. Goodbye for now, be well, and much love to each and every one of you.